The Young Man Who Discovered the Secret of Life by Muriel Spark. The main fact was, he was haunted by a ghost, about 5 feet high when unfurled and standing upright. For the ghost unfurled itself from the top drawer of a piece of furniture that stood in the young man's bed-sitting room every night, or, failing that, every morning. The young man was a plasterer's apprentice, or so he claimed. But I have been told on good authority that this is absolutely absurd. There is no such thing. Plasterers do not have apprentices. Ben, as the young man was called, was very concerned when I wrote to point this out. He decidedly preferred to change his status to that of bricklayer's, or better still, curblayer's apprentice. Even though this meant putting himself in an unemployed category while doing a bit of plastering on the side to make a weekly wage of sorts. I myself had only heard of Ben through correspondence, for he had written to me a most unusual letter, care of my publisher. In it, the then plasterer's apprentice told about the visitations of the ghost. Normally, I would have torn up the letter. I only replied to him because one of his statements contained the challenging one that through his ghost Ben had discovered, or was by way of discovering, the secret of life. In my reply, I was cautious about the apparition, as I called his ghost, but I more definitely pointed out that the secret of life was most likely to mean the secret of his own personal life, not life in general. The lives of people hold many secrets, I emphasized. There was possibly no one secret applying to us all. So, anyway, I wished him luck and mailed off the letter. Goodbye. But no, it wasn't goodbye as I might have foreseen. It was true that I didn't write to him for some time, but he continued to write letters to me in some inexplicable need that he felt to express his old experiences, real or imagined, as the case may be. According to Ben's letters to me, his greatest problem with the ghost was now blackmail and jealousy, for the ghost was truly jealous of Ben's girlfriend. "I can haunt whoever and wherever I wish," the ghost told Ben. "It is easy for me to inform the whole of your acquaintance that you are only a plasterer looking for a steady job, and as for being a curblayer or even a bricklayer, that is far from the truth." "Please yourself who you haunt," said Ben. "I am totally indifferent. The fact remains that I am a curblayer at heart, whatever the nature of the temporary job as plasterer, etc., etc., that I am economically forced to accept from time to time." "And what is etc., etc.?" said the ghost nastily. "Do you mind explaining?" "Curl up and return to your drawer," Ben bade him. "And mind you, don't crush my pyjamas." "Your pyjamas," said the ghost, "have no place in the top drawer where I come from. They are not pure silk. They are Mark Spencer's." Ben was secretly very anxious, lest it be known he was not a curblayer after all. But he was a brave fellow. "Get back to your place or else," he said. The ghost curled up again, murmuring, "At least you admit that I have a right to be here. As it happens, I know what is going to win the 3:30 tomorrow. It is Bartender's Best." True enough, that horse won the race, and Ben was furious with himself for failing to take the tip, for he liked to play the horses when he had some money. "Any more tips?" he asked the ghost that night. I thought you would ask that question," said the ghost. "But, as you know, your girlfriend doesn't like betting. If you give her up, I'll tell no one your secret and I'll give you good racing tips." "Do you know what?" said Ben. "You are getting on my nerves. You are the result of stale air, neither more or less. Stale air becomes radioactive. It becomes luminous. If I open the window, you will gradually disappear." "Not me," said the ghost. "Not me, I won't. I can't think of any more mindless occupation than to be a ghost in that post-mortem way you have in coming and going. So very unnecessary. I could have you psychoanalyzed away. and her end of the story, Genevieve, young and fair, a designer of scarecrows, Ben's girlfriend. Ben was convinced that her occupational status, the only type of status that apparently he knew, was beneath his, particularly now that he had become profession Kerblayer's apprentice. The passion with which the ghost despised Genevieve could only be matched by Ben's genuine and desperate love for her. In the meantime, the ghost continued to unfurl its 5 feet and to give Ben advice like, psychoanalyze your crazy pavement. The ghost is a terrible snob, Ben wrote. He makes me feel great and terrible. In fact, Ben changed his patronizing attitude towards the girl only after Genevieve borrowed his sun hat, his jeans, and one of his shirts to make up one of her scarecrows. She painted a turnip in the likeness of Ben's face. When she had set up the scarecrow in a field, everyone knew that it was modeled on Ben. Everyone smiled. The terrible snob ghost came to report this to Ben, adding that a cow's milk had already been turned by the scarecrow. On the previous day, Ben had won £24 on a horse, quite on his own hunch. So he skipped his usual visit to the job centre and took a bus out of town to the field where Genevieve's handiwork was flapping. Two cars had drawn up by the side of the road, and the occupants were admiring the work of art, as one of them called it. It's the image of a young builder's mate who once worked on my property, she said. So, instead of taking the effigy, Miss Ben was full of admiration for Genevieve. He rang her up and made her fix a date for their marriage, never mind that he was present out of work. The ghost unfurled himself again that night, but when he heard of Ben's proposal to Genevieve, he returned to the top drawer from whence he came, filled up, and disappeared. This quenching of the ghost, Ben wrote, is to me the secret of life. He said quenching, for he thought the ghost had been thirsty for his soul, and had in fact drunk his fill. Ben never again won on the horses, although he became a master bricklayer, a prosperous man, specializing in crazy paving.